We're glad to be with you. It's always my privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach and tell you what God is saying. I got to say this, in case there's any question about the subject of preaching, this is not some situation where you just go to a book and find some notes and read it and that's it. This is God's business. This is God's place right here. I just think it's so important. I sharing with my wife this week, I came home from doing something and rushed in the house, and she said, "What's the hurry?" I said, "God gave me something. I gotta write it down." And at my age, I have to write things down quite frequently. But it just reminded me of how much this is God's business and God's word. So I don't know what your situation is this morning. I know that God has working through me to prepare a message that I trust will help you and to be of special value to you this morning. I brought with me this morning, this is called a calendar. For you who are new and you're not using these things anymore, calendars. There are all kinds of calendars back at the information desk that you're welcome to take. The thing that I want to call your attention to is when you turn the page over, excluding the dog's picture here, but the calendar itself, there is nothing there. Do you notice that? This is January 2022. Nope, 23, excuse me. There's nothing there. Nothing on the calendar. So you could conclude, well, it looks like a pretty good year coming up here. What's ahead? Well, I got to tell you, if you're like, well, my wife and I do this, we write things, schedules on the calendars, she has the luxury of then going back, and when it's done, she just marks it out. Now, I would invite you sometime when you really want something to do and you're not occupied with something more encouraging, but ask her to see her 2022 calendar. It is a mess. It's got stuff on there that's happened and that's been marked off. Well, you say, what's that got to do with anything you're going to preach about? Well, it has a lot, because I look at our calendar for the new year and say, you know, there's nothing there. So what does that mean? That means that there will be things coming that will go on your calendar, or in my case, I keep a journal, that are good things and things that are not so good, and they're on the calendar. They're going to be there. And at the end of the year, you're going to look back and say, oh, yeah, here was a situation that that came across my path that I had to deal with. I'm calling them adversities. Adversities. That's the subject. Advice in adversity. And an adversity is any kind of trouble you want to name. Any kind of issue, any kind of problem, whether it's financial or economic unemployment, health issues, family problems, whatever you want to call it as an adversity, you can pretty well mark it down that sometime in the next 300 days, we're going to find those showing up on our mental calendar at least. So we know that they're going to happen. And that's all right. That's okay. Adversities are there. Sometimes they're for our advantage. We had some storms through here not too long ago. And if you were out and about following those storms, you've noticed that there have been some trees that have fallen. And an arborist said one time that a tree that's put out here in the open spaces, and when the weather comes and the winds blow adversely against that tree, what happens is the root system in that tree just goes deeper. So when the strong winds come and when the adversities come, that tree that is planted is going to sustain itself and it's going to be okay. And you say, well, that tree that fell probably did not have a very good root system. And you're probably right. And so we would encourage those trees to be planted where they can get some growth and some depth in their structure. Well, that is the same way in our own lives. How important it is to value the root system in our spiritual life, to come closer to the Lord, to walk closer to Him, to put our roots on something that's sustainable. You know, the scripture talks about the solid rock of Christ. That's sustainable. That's where we can place our lives and our structure. Someone wrote these words, "The hills ahead look steep and high, and often we hold them with a sigh. But as we near the level grounds of the road, we find on every slope with every load to climb is not so steep, the top so far. The hills ahead look harder than they really are." So what we're saying is that even though this year will be filled with adversities, we can overcome them. And that's why I'm taking you to the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. Now, I'm not preaching through both books. I've tried to make that clear. But we find that the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 34, is the last book. It slides nicely into chapter 1 of Joshua. You really don't need a chapter division, but it's there. Interesting, as we study the Old Testament, some have complained, well, why do we need to study the Old Testament? Because the roots of the new are in the old. So much we find there sustained in the Old Testament to help us in our understanding of the word of the new. And you realize that the apostles and Jesus himself, they referred to the law, the word, the account of the old, because that's what they had. They did not have the New Testament as we have it today. So as we go back briefly into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, you'll find it's a short chapter, but it's interesting because it is there that we find the conclusion of the ministry, the life of Moses. God said, "Moses, here's what I want you to do." He said, "You've lived this life 120 years. I want you to go up on this hillside, and I want you to look out and see something that I've talked about, and now I want you to really see it." And he says, it's called the Promised Land. It's the land that's talked about in the Old Testament as the land filled with milk and honey. It's where God has placed his sovereign will to be accomplished in the lives of Israel. Through Moses, starting with Abraham, all the way through up to Moses, God said, here's the land. I want you to see it because you're not going to enter that land, but I want you to understand it is God's land. It's God's promised land. Converting that to today, we'd say, you know, it's like saying, you know, this book is filled with God's promises. He's promised. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's a promise. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. And so in our converting that thought to New Testament ideology, we say, you know, God's given us so many promises that we can rely on, so many to depend upon. And so Moses stood there on that hillside and looked out, and yeah, this is it. He describes it and makes it clear. But it says in verse number 5 of chapter 3, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word. That was it. 120 years he lived. Now he has died. It's over. It's interesting in the formality that follows, it's an introduction to a man by the name of Joshua, but it's also it's a memorial to this man, Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were dim. The children of Israel wept for Moses. Verse 9, introducing Joshua. Then verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Now, as he goes on and gives this memorial to this man, Moses, I want you to notice something, that Moses had walked alongside Joshua for many years. Joshua was there when Moses needed him. Joshua was the guy that when they called out to the people in Israel, said, that promised land that God talked about, we'd like to go over there and take a look at that. In Numbers chapter 13, there was a whole group of 10 people that said, we're going to go look it over. Now, is God serious about this land? And you know the story. Joshua and Caleb and others went over, and they came back. And Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? You're right. He had heard the majority report that said, there's a land that's got giants in it. It's got all kind of adversities. It's got all kinds of issues and problems. And Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, that's true. But you know, God has promised that land. And Joshua said, yeah, we're going to someday reap the benefits of that land. We're going to occupy that land, even though there are adversities, there are troubles, there are problems, there are giants, all of these things. And so the page is turned. The calendar is empty, and Joshua stands at the threshold of a future. I like to pause here because I kind of think that's where we are. I realize it's been a week ago we turned the page, but we did turn the page. It's a new year, and here we are. We're sort of like Joshua there. Okay, now, Lord, what happens? What do we do? Well, there are two adversities brought into the life of Joshua that are very obvious. In chapter 1 of Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying unto him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, notice, please, what he said. He said, Joshua, I want to tell you something. Now, you have been 30 days along with those others, remembering Moses. But he said, I want to tell you something, Joshua. Those days are over now. I've got two things for you I want you to do. I can imagine, can't you? Joshua said, look, I just spent all this time with my dearly beloved Moses. And now he's gone, and what is it you want from me, Lord? I think I've done my paid my dues. I've done all I can do. And God said, there's two things. Number one, I want you to notice Moses is dead. Okay, Joshua, you're the man. You see, God said, there's nobody. I've been preparing you, Joshua. You're the man. You're it. And Joshua probably thought, you know, Lord, wait a minute. I'm not sure I can do, I don't think I can do this. But he said, there's another adversary that I have to mention to you. Jordan River is deep. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But he said, these are the two problems. They're the two adversities that you're facing. There will be challenges in all of our lives. There will be pages filled. There will be issues that we face. And you say, well, I don't know what I know. But maybe rest assured that like Joshua, there will come adversarial times in our lives. So what we're trying to do today is to do two things. Number one is make preparation. Number two is to make application. And so here's what we're trying to say. Understand that it all is going to start with Joshua. And then Joshua is going to say, now gather around me, folks. I got some things to tell you. And the people were instructed. I heard this man say one time, everything rises and falls on leadership. And Pastor Tim and I could agree with this, that it all starts here. It starts right here. It starts in our hearts. And God said, Joshua, come here. I want to talk to you. You're the man. And he got him aside and began to speak. It also starts in the home. Dads, it starts with you. You're the leader in the family. So preparation comes when Joshua and dads and preachers say, look, I got to get ready. I don't know what the year's going to bring. I don't know what's going to happen in this country. I don't know what our community's going to be like in another year. By God's grace, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready for what it is. Now notice what he says. Number one, he says, I want you to arise and go to Jordan. I want you to arise and go to Jordan. Well, Joshua said, you know, I've been sort of sitting by waiting. I've been lackadaisical in my spiritual growth, and I'm not doing anything. I better get at it. Some people come to a point of stagnant, where they just, that's it. I'm not going to do anything. Some people even get to the point saying, you know, I'm just quitting. I've had all I can do. I've had people tell me that, you know. I've got issues. I've got problems. God says, I know that. But I want you to prepare. I want you to arise. I want you to go to Jordan. In our structure this morning, what we're talking about, I want to help us understand how to do that. He said, here's what he said. I want you to arise and go to Jordan. And Joshua's saying to himself, I cannot do that. And God says to Joshua, listen to me. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Let me stop there. Do you realize at least four times God says this to Joshua? And there are times even before this in chapter 32 and 33 that God said to Moses, be strong and of good courage. If he says it that many times, I'd better listen, had I not? Be strong and of a good courage. That means I must have some areas of weakness that I need to address. That means some things that need to be understood because of that inadequacy in my life. You see, in understanding strength, we realize that our situation is one of weakness. What's Joshua saying? Joshua says, I can't do this. And God says, wait a minute, Joshua, you cannot do it alone. That's the point. Read verse 5 of chapter 1. Therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Period. Now, folks, that's not something you pray about. That's a promise. God said, it's going to be okay. Now, you just don't stop there, do you? You can't say, well, okay, I'll be strong. I'll be courageous. No, wait a minute. Here's the point. God says, okay, now, Joshua, that's what I want you to do. But I also want you to know something. I won't tell you how to do it. Don't you like that? I like it when we're told to do something, and they say, now, here's the instruction manual. You have this all the time, don't you? Something goes wrong. Well, go to the instruction manual or go to the Google and find out from that. You find out what's going wrong. How do I fix it? How can I make it right? How can I prepare? How can I be strong and courageous? Psalmist says in chapter 18, verse 2, the Lord is my, notice this, I've referred to, the Lord is my rock. He's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And the word, as we think about the idea of being strong, and then it's exercised in being courageous. See, courage comes as a result of strength. Remember little David in that sling? He was courageous after he was strengthened to do what he had to do against the giant. And so I say, how? And God says, well, let me tell you how. And Joshua said, Lord, tell me how. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Ah, that land again. We called it the promised land. God said, listen, you be strong, because let me help you understand something. God has a plan. He said, I've got a plan for you, Joshua. But God says, Jerry, I've got a plan for you, and I've got a plan for you. That's the way God works. He said, throughout this context of being strong, he said, I give it to them. I've already delivered this promise. God is the sovereign one. He knows the beginning from the end. And he says, listen, I know you're going to have adversarial times. And I know there'll be adversities. But let me tell you something. It's okay, because I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan to help you prepare for the application that is yet to come. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me, notice this, teach me thy way. That's no accident. Teach me, God says, David says, teach me God's way. O Lord, and lead me in a path that is plain. Psalm 86, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Psalm 37 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse number 5, and trust him, and he shall bring it to pass. So with the idea of preparation comes responsibility. Hey, God says, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that God has a plan. I like this in James. James says in chapter 4, he said, the conversation, go now and today or tomorrow and go to such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what be on the morrow, tomorrow. What is your life? It's a bit of vapor. For what you ought to say, James says, is this. Notice this very simply. If the Lord will. He said, you know, James says, here's so many of the factors of life is, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And tomorrow and my calendar, I've got this all filled up in here. But understand that James says, let's put it under the umbrella. Thy will be done. So the preparation starts with the fact that we know that God has a plan. There's a second facet to this strengthening and courage. Say, how can I prepare? Well, secondly, he says this. In verse 7 and 8, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commandeth thee, to turn not from it to the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, he said, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Don't you love those words? Oh, yes. All the proprietors of wealth and security say, listen, I've got the answer for your prosperity and your success. Send me $100 and I'll send you 50 back and we'll be happy. Well, it's something. The world uses the language of prosperity and success, but folks, that's not what Joshua is being told. He said, I want you to understand something, that prosperity and success falls around the idea of being courageous, of observing. The word actually means to treasure up all that is written. By the way, written, the Bible, the word that is written, forever settled in heaven, that we put our trust in it because God has a guide for our life. Folks, this is no accident. We don't come here on Sunday morning just to gather to pat each other on the back. We've come here for we want to hear what God has to say from God's word to God's people. What does he say? Well, I have some help for you. He says, I want you to understand, thy word have I hid in my heart, the psalmist says, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I, and I just quoted that. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. God says, listen, you can be strong and courageous because there is a word, a guide that is there for the taking. I don't know, you travel, whatever you do. When you do it, you like to know where you're going, don't you? That little GPS thing, that's the berries. Oh, except one time, I first got one, and we were driving someplace, I forget. I think we're going back to Indiana. And so I thought, well, I'm going to use my GPS. I didn't realize that you can exclude such things as highways, and you can exclude, you know, different things like that. And I had done that and didn't even know it. And we kept going down these secondary roads. And I said, why? I see that highway over there. What's wrong with this thing? And my wife said, what's wrong with the driver? No, she didn't say that. But that's how, you know, we have a guide. Our guide is efficient. Prosperity and success. How do we measure that? I like the story of George Mueller. I don't know if you know George Mueller. He was a man that lived in England way back, and he started orphanages. Here's a man that never spent a dollar on doing anything. He prayed it through. God delivered. God provided for orphanages in Europe. One morning, told him from the kitchen, George, we don't have any food. We've got 300 kids, and we haven't had breakfast, and we have no food. And George says, well, this is from a book. He said, get the kids dressed and get them ready for school and bring them to the tables and prepare the tables, put the settings on the tables and all that goes with it. And they said, but George, we have no food. Mr. Mueller, what are we going to do? George says, just set them down around the table. I'm sure they must have been looking at each other. Where's the food? And he prayed, Lord, provide. Take care of us. Like you said you would do. Within a few minutes, there was a knock at the door. And there was a fellow who was the baker in town. He said, George, I something happened last night. He said, I thought about you guys and the kids and wondered if you had enough food. I even got up this morning early and baked loaves of bread, and I got them here for you. Could you use them? And of course, George said, come on in, guys. Went along, another fellow came to the door. This is true. Another fellow came to the door, and he said, I got a problem, Mr. Mueller. He said, I'm the milkman. And my cart, you can't believe this, but it broke down out in front of your place here. I don't know what I'm going to do. Got any ideas? Mr. Mueller said, bring it in. See, folks, that's prosperity and success. That's what it's all about. It's when God provides as he says he will. You realize what he said in the scripture? Philippians 4 says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Notice that. My God shall supply all of your needs. That's what he said. What's success and prosperity? It's being guided by a God that knows the beginning from the end. And then thirdly, and I got to move. The third part of this climate of success and courage comes with knowing that God is always with us. How important is that? Verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, What's these words again? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now notice this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, prepare yourself for application by doing this part of the preparation. Understand something. God is there for you. You know, he says throughout Scripture, Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I am with you always. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promises? Yes. Does it help in our preparation? Of course it does. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You say, wait a minute, how can I be there? I will fear no evil, for thou art with thy rod and thy staff. They come. Well, that's fine. Preparation, I realize I need to be strong and of good courage, and I understand I can do that because God has a plan for my life. I also understand God wants to guide me through that plan, and God says, I will never leave you. I will be with you. So here's Joshua. Hey, I'm doing better. Now, okay, that's adversity number one. But now, Lord, you said there's something else. You said something about a river that is deep. God said, yeah, it's called the Jordan. You see, across the river is what they call the promised land we just talked about. It's over there, see? And you're over here, and you got to get from here to there. Now, there's a problem. The problem is, at the springtime of the year, the river floods. I can imagine Joshua saying, oh, wait a minute. You're telling me that the man that I've been following all these years is no longer available to do this, and you want me to do it? You want me to face my adversarial consequence here? And you want me to look at this adversity and say, okay, I think I can do it? And God said, no, you can't do it. No, you cannot do it alone. He said, I've got to take you over there. Now, the chapter goes on. Chapter 2 tells about, interesting chapter 2, it tells about the folks that went over to Jericho across the river, and they walked across the river, but when they came back, the next thing we find that here's Joshua at the river, and it can't be crossed. You say, well, I don't understand that. Okay. Do you realize there's some things in life I don't understand, and you don't understand? Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. You say, okay, Joshua, here we stand at the river's edge, and explain to me why this river is like it is. We've got a million people. We've got to get across that river, and you're telling me we're going to do it, and how do we do it? It's impossible. And they would say, I don't understand, and Joshua would say, fellas, hold it. I don't understand it either. There will be in your adversaries, and your adversity, excuse me, on your calendar, there'll be some things you say, I don't understand this. So now where does that put us? That means I got to turn around and say, wait a minute. God put me through this whole realm of preparation. Maybe there's something there that has prepared me for the application when the river is really deep. Here's what he said. Chapter 3, we're slipping over. We're skipping chapter 2 only because it's out of the context. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and the children of Israel lodged there. And then it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, now notice, here is Joshua having come now to the people and saying this, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, what's he saying? He said, here's the deal. We have to do something about our situation. Here's what we're going to do. And by the way, understand, this is a spiritual act. We have to understand the necessity. He says in verse number 3, and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is a piece of furniture that was in the tabernacle, in the temple. It was the presence of God was understood to be there in that place. And I haven't got time to go through all that. But the priest would enter the Holy of Holies and come before that tabernacle and say, this is the presence of the Lord. This is where I can commune with God in the Old Testament. And Joshua said, now listen, fellas, here's the deal. We have the Ark of the Covenant. We are putting that Ark of the Covenant in its proper perspective, in its place. We're putting it to the position that we can, notice this, go after it. In other words, he's saying we have to seek the Lord. The Lord is ahead of us. The Lord is before us, and we're to seek Him. That's what He's saying here. Move out from where we are. Understand the adversarial problem and address it. And not sit idly by, as He said, arise and go, but to get out there and to follow God's leading. And so they were to seek the Lord. And then He goes on. He tells how they're to do that. Verse number 5, and Joshua said unto the people, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Prepare yourself. Joshua says, yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. I mean, the Lord says, I'm going to walk across that river that's flooded, and God says, that's what I'm supposed to do, and I don't understand. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that. I'm not ready to see how God's hand is upon this deliverance. Or I'm not sure I understand how this factors into God's plan for my life. Listen, here's the problem. So many times we look at a situation, an adversarial situation, and adversity, and say, you know what? It'll all work out. Circumstances will change, and it'll all be okay. And what we do is we forget the preparation. In the preparation, God says, I've got a plan for you. And my plan is to guide you through the river. And understand, my plan is to always be with you, even in the depths of the river. The adversarial problem and all the adversities that you... It's interesting what He says here. Let me back up to verse 4. It shall be a space between you and your 2,000 cubits of measure. It goes on to the description. By which you must go. Now listen, here's what He says, that last phrase. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua says, amen, brother. I have never been here before. And you look at your calendar and you say, there's an adversary there that I've never faced before. What am I going to do? That's where God says, I'm going to step in. I'm going to help you with it. I'm going to be there as you seek the Lord, as you sanctify, as you set Him apart. That word sanctify means to set apart. I'm going to say, listen, I've got 3 days. Joshua tells the people, you got 3 days. Get ready. And get it ready by getting yourself ready. And be ready with your eyes open to see how God's hand is going to be upon you as you cross that river. Joshua, let me ask you a question. How are you going to do that? Joshua says, I don't know. I mean, that river is deep. I'm not sure how it's going to work. And God says in the last part, let me jump down to verse 10. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that you will be, he will not fail you, but will not, excuse me, will fail to drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, etc. He says, I want you to know God is among. Simply trust Him. That's all He says. Notice something. He says He's right there. He's just a whisper away, you know, as we, in other words, He tells me I need to pray. I need to ask God, how do I handle it? Notice verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes before you. I'm glad to know that He understands me. Joshua said, listen, folks, I know your trepidation. I know your fear. And I know you can say, I've never been here before. And God says, it's all right because I'm going ahead of you. It's like, you know, you're going someplace. And you say, I don't know how I'm going. Well, the person says, well, look, follow me. I know the way. I'll get you there. And you say, oh, well, that's good to know because I don't have a clue. And that's what God is saying to Joshua and the nation of Israel. Simply trust Him. Songwriter by the name of Louisa Steele lived back in the 1800s. She had a problem in her life. She went to her room and she wrote words that were put into a hymn. Simply these words. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Were they singing that song then? No, probably not. But I think in their heart, they had. Jesus was. They only knew there was a God to whom they might trust. The calendar pages will fill up. Adversities will come. We must not rest, but rise and reach out. And it requires preparation. And we're at the 8th day of the month of January of a new year and say, Lord, help me to prepare. Maybe that first line has been clean already. There's nothing there. But I don't know about tomorrow. We must be strong and courageous by knowing God has a plan. And God is in the guiding business. And God is always present. And with that preparation, we can apply it to the next trouble that comes as an adversity. Our preparation leads to application because God has a plan. He guides and He's always with us. And we must seek him constantly. That's God's way. That's God's plan. Matthew chapter 6. I'm closing with this. I want you to understand something. It's not just Old Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Jesus says, seek ye first. Emphasis on first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take care of itself. The question I ask myself when I read that, all these things, what are they? Well, he tells us in the first part of the verse. He says, don't worry about your clothing, your food, your this, that, and the other. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the deep waters of the Jordan. Don't worry about the fact that you're filling into a man that served God for 120 years and he asked you to be the next. Don't worry about that, but indeed seek him first. Seek the Lord. That's what the verse says. He says, all those things that you're pondering, all those perplexities of life, all those adversities that are going to come, don't worry about it. Now, you know, there's a whole other subject, and I haven't got time to go on. But, you know, we say, well, do I forget? No. I think God says, Joshua, get up and go. And what, by the way, while you're going, here's the preparation needed. It's not that you sit by and say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go. We tend to get comfortable with our life and often forget God and forget our future he has promised. So God sends adversities to remind us of both our need for him and our promised future that puts him first. It's on your... All right, close the calendar. If you want this, by the way, it's empty. It's not been used, so it's still good. But it won't be that way for long. I trust as we look forward to a year ahead, the church family together going the same direction, asking and beseeching God's help to help us in times of personal as well as community adversity, that the formula, the preparation, continues to be the same. Lord, help. I think it's a great illustration of what God can do and what God will do as we put him first in our new year. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with this time together. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we consider the preparation necessary for being what you would have us to be in this year. Lord, we know that you're favoring us with your presence. And even as we gather this morning, we ask you, Lord, that our hearts might be set apart to you. May we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's one here without having trusted you, having not prepared for tomorrow's and the adversities, that they will say today is the day of salvation. I'm going to seek the help that I need. Pastor Tim and I are here, we know, and you know, to help those that have needs. So Lord, meet the need. Thank you again for letting us share your word, the word that is forever settled in heaven. Meet every need. In Jesus' name we pray.